Wage growth, it's finally here. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. economy added 201,000 jobs in August. The unemployment rate is 3.9%, and wages grew 2.9% year over year. It's the biggest yearly jump since 2009. We've got Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
2.9% year-over-year wage growth sounds great. Is that just a blip? Should we allow ourselves to be happy about that?
I think we really should allow ourselves to be happy about it. Yeah, you know, not only was wage growth good in August, but June and July were revised higher too. So you look at a longer-term chart, and now the rising trend emerges, which is, I think, terrific news.
Do we know anything about whose wages are rising?
We do. It's the lowest paid workers that are picking up wage gains. The bottom two quintiles are experiencing almost double digit income growth, while the top quintile is stagnant. It's nice to see the gap closing a little bit.
What does all of this mean for the Federal Reserve's thinking on whether to further raise interest rates and how fast to do so?
Well, you know, it's noteworthy. Just on Wednesday, the New York Fed President John Williams gave a speech, and he said that the greatest mystery in the economy right now is the lack of wage pressure, which at the time he said would be a reason the Fed could relax. Obviously, when they have a chance to look at this data, the thinking will likely start to go the other way. Okay, here's that wage pressure we were worried about. Maybe we need to keep tightening after all.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Sabri.
Several major hotel chains, including Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott, announced yesterday they would provide employees with panic devices by 2020. The decision is aimed at protecting workers from sexual harassment and assault. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
According to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, hotel employees are among the most sexually harassed groups of workers. Emily Martin is with the National Women's Law Center. She says those workers are vulnerable partly because they earn low wages.
They're often immigrant women and women of color. And all of those things mean that people tend to think that there's not going to be much social cost if they proposition them or coerce them or sexually assault them.
The devices have already been introduced in a couple cities. In July, a Chicago ordinance took effect, requiring all hotels there to give panic buttons to housekeeping staff. Mitch Langler is with management company Smash Hotels. Their workers carry key fobs that, when triggered, send text alerts to several people.
And that text message states the name of the employee and their location so that the responders know exactly where to go.
He says that installation and subscription costs are significant, but worth the security it gives to workers. I'm Jed Kim from Marketplace.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually, every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
Countries all around the world have to take a look regularly at how much carbon they're releasing into the atmosphere. But when they do that calculation, a lot of countries are missing something big, and that's the pollution that occurs outside their borders to create all the goods that they import, something called embodied carbon. Dr. Ali Hassan Beghi is founder of Global Efficiency Intelligence and an author of a recent report on the global carbon trade. Hi, Dr. Hassan Beghi.
Thank you for having me.
So the U.S. has reduced its greenhouse gas emissions since the year 2000 by about 8%. You point out that that's frankly misleading because of what you call the carbon loophole. Can you explain that?
Yes. Basically, carbon loophole is a term that refers to the embodied greenhouse gas emissions that are in the products that are manufactured in one country, but then traded across borders and consumed in another country. And often countries, in terms of climate policies, they just address and even just measure their own emission, and they do not count the emissions that are embodied in all these products that are coming into the country. And that's why they simply can basically outsource their emissions and just import the material and then claim they have reduced their greenhouse gas emission, and that will be a big problem.
So if we are, as you say, outsourcing our pollution, basically having other countries pollute for us in order for us to have our TVs and our iPhones and our clothes, which countries are we talking about?
Definitely the top one would be China. The net import of embodied carbon by the U.S. from China, it was in 2015, was around 435 million tons of CO2. And that's almost equal to the entire greenhouse gas emission of California.
If we were to calculate carbon emissions, pollution, the right way, and look at the situation globally, how is the world doing in terms of carbon pollution?
Well, the overall greenhouse gas emissions are increasing, and the share of embodied emission from the total greenhouse gas emission in the world has been increasing from around 10% in 1970 to around 25% in 2015. So around 25% of the total greenhouse gas emission in the world is embodied in the trade. So we are not really peaking or decreasing our global emissions at the moment.
Dr. Ali Hassan Beghi is founder of Global Efficiency Intelligence and one of the authors of a recent report on the global carbon trade. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.